This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Several developments in the Jeffrey Epstein story. Sources familiar with the matter tell ABC News Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche will be meeting with Epstein co-conspirator Ghislaine Maxwell today at the prison where she's serving time in Florida. Chairman of the House Oversight Committee has issued a subpoena to Maxwell for a deposition to occur next month at that same prison. A federal judge has denied a request to unseal grand jury transcripts of federal investigations into Epstein.
He said the court's hands are tied here. And the Justice Department did not provide enough of a reason, enough of a justification for releasing grand jury testimony, which is supposed to be kept secret.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. Also, the Wall Street Journal is reporting that Attorney General Pam Bondi told President Trump in May that his name is mentioned several times in the Epstein files. Columbia University agreeing to pay $220 million to restore federal research dollars. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The body of a woman missing in La Crosse on Sunday was found Wednesday. La Crosse police said that the body of 22-year-old Elliot Hines was found in the Mississippi River near Brownsville, Minnesota. The Houston County Sheriff's Office contacted the La Crosse Police Department at 10:28 Wednesday morning. In a statement, the La Crosse Police Department offered condolences to the woman's family and said that they are awaiting an autopsy report while they investigate the death. Hines had last been seen Sunday morning. City government committee meetings are almost done for the month after today. The redevelopment Authority has a long agenda with reports from area developers on multiple projects around the city, including F Street, Roush Rentals, and Reiki Properties for the Gateway Commons project. The committee will also get a monthly update on the River Point District and financial updates for other projects as well. After next Monday's Board of Public Works meeting, the next time a city government committee meets is on August 4th. It's Aviation Week in Wisconsin. With more, here's Civic Media's Lisa Hale.
This week through Sunday has been proclaimed Aviation Week by Governor Tony Evers in recognition of the world's largest aviation celebration, EAA Air Venture 2025, happening this week in Oshkosh. Wisconsin Department of Transportation Secretary Christina Boardman says the event at Whitman Airport highlights WISDOT's Bureau of Aeronautics' commitment to strengthening Wisconsin's aviation network. Attendees are encouraged to visit the WISDOT BOA exhibit in Hangar A to learn more about the Wisconsin airport system and the various aviation programs that are offered across our state.
You can find more information on the DOT's website. Early morning storms will give way to cloudy skies and highs in the mid-80s today. Scattered storms are possible during the workday. Skies will clear out a bit tonight, but dew points will stay high. Friday will be sunny with highs in the mid to upper 80s. Saturday brings a chance of showers and storms and highs in the 80s. It'll be hot to start next week with highs in the low 90s, but a cool down is coming at the end of July. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
It's back to football. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Green Bay. At the Packers training camp underway, practices open to the public at 10:30 a.m. A new locker room and a new attitude amongst the players, running back Josh Jacobs.
We didn't like how we finished last year. The sense of urgency in this building, in this organization right now is very high. You know, we all are trying to hold each other to that standard of what we want to be and what we want to accomplish. And obviously, you know, we went, one game in the North? So for us, man, that's our main focus right now, just trying to be better and improve.
College football, the Badgers holding their media day at the Big Ten Conference in Las Vegas. After finishing 5-7, head coach Luke Fickell says they need to accept their role as the underdog.
A part of that is embracing being an underdog. That's how Wisconsin's gotten to where they are.
Baseball, Brewers with a 10-2 win in Seattle. Milwaukee with the best record in baseball. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms today with a high right around 86 this afternoon. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms early, then partly cloudy will drop to 67 for a low. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a slight chance of late-day thunderstorms and a high right around 86. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Corrine Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, about the need for child care in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be talking about K-12 public education in this state from the Wisconsin Public Education Network Conference in Green Bay. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Eagle 1490 AM.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, that's not exactly true. We're not at the Lake Wissota studios today. We weren't there yesterday. We won't be there tomorrow. We're in Madison, Studio A2, along with Parker Olson, producing this fine radio program. And tomorrow we'll be on location in Oshkosh. It's where Brittany Merlot is. But we're not talking to her today. She's not talking to us. She's taken a couple of days to, after reporting from EAA for a few days, is now just going to take it all in and enjoy it. And we hope she's having a great time at the campground and seeing all the sights. And we look forward to hearing all about it come Monday. But coming up this hour, we are going to be talking about cryptocurrency from a state perspective. Because around the state, you're starting to see ATMs go up that are also crypto friendly, I guess we could call it, where you could somehow, you know, put money toward whether it's Bitcoin or one of these other cryptocurrencies, to which I add parenthetically, whatever the heck they are, because I am not convinced that this isn't just something on par with, you know, the Dutch tulip bulbs of the 1600s or any other commodity. And that's the other question: is crypto a commodity? Like wheat and corn and gold? Or is it a security? Is it more like a stock and you can lose your investment in it? These are all questions that are still up in the air. But at least one thing a couple of legislators want to do is make sure that if some of these folks want to put ATMs up in Wisconsin that say you're putting your money toward crypto, that it's not a scam. And so we will hear directly from State Senator Kelda Royes and State Representative Ryan Spouty later this hour about crypto and, you know, what kind of guardrails state government can put on it. We'll talk to Camden Hargrove of the Wisconsin Public Education Network live from Green Bay. He's there for the Wisconsin Public Education Network annual summer summit, the get-together of educators and their allies. Todd Albaugh is up there as well and will be doing his show live from Green Bay Preble High School coming up this afternoon. Chris Hambuck Boyle, a friend of the show, must also be there as well because she texted us a photo of Lambeau Field where they had their welcome reception last evening. The note from Chris says, "We welcomed public education champions from across the state to kick off our 11th annual summer summit. Each year, the welcome reception shows off some local flair. How could we not?" Well, if you're doing local flair in Green Bay, that would be Lambeau Field. And Chris has sent to us, Parker, a very lovely picture from, if you may not have ever been to, basically it's like a little conference center inside of Lambeau Field. And there's an area there where you look out over the field from way up high. It's pretty cool.
It's so, this is one of the most beautiful pictures I think I've ever seen of Lambeau Field.
I mean,
I
would take it.
So, gorgeous.
Yeah. So hopefully everybody's having a good time there at Preble High School after that nice reception yesterday. We will also be checking in with Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau, our civic media station up there. That's in our next hour, as well as Joe Zepecki. We'll be talking about a Democratic state senator who's circulating a petition saying that the Democratic gubernatorial nominee next year, whether it's Tony Evers or somebody else, needs to commit to a series of promises kind of on par with the contract on America that, you know, Newt Gingrich had back in the day. But this one more productive. This one actually, you know, for the middle class. This one, something that's actually attainable. But is it too much to ask for? Are some of these things painting potential candidates into a corner? We'll talk to Joe a little bit about that. We'll talk to Sean O'Malley about your money in the markets, all that yet ahead here on These Mornings, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's check over on the mailbag here, because I'm sure that Rob from Tigerton has checked in as well. Sure enough, on YouTube, he writes, "Good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy and 70 degrees. Tigerton picked up 1.1 inches of rain from yesterday's storm. There was tree damage. There were power lines down in the Rosholt and Iola areas. I also saw some photos of damage north of Bloomer in Chippewa County." Rob goes on to tell us there was a funnel cloud along Highway 45 south of Clintonville, a tornado in the Gillette area in O'Connell County, and with it being so humid yesterday, it had that feel like it was going to storm. He said, coming home from Shawano, the sky to the west was very dark from the tornado warning out in Marathon County. He writes, "I think the meteorologists in the Wausau and Green Bay markets did an excellent job with their tornado and severe weather coverage, an excellent job of keeping people up to date." And we are always extremely thankful for the meteorologists who are working their hearts out in severe weather. Now, to an earlier subject, and that was about concert T-shirts. Tony writes on YouTube, "I have heard that you shouldn't wear a band's shirt at their concert." He says, "I was told that as I was wearing a band's shirt while at the concert." So there, we got one other person who claims that that's a thing. I don't know if this is really a thing or if just people think it's a thing and so they parrot it.
I just need to hear the reasoning for it. Because I don't see a reason not to.
No, I like your Packer analogy.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't wear a Packer jersey to the game? Let's see. Tony also chimed in on the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band movie. Not the album, the movie in the mid-70s. And you said, maybe you just need to watch a good, bad movie. And Tony said, "I tried watching it a week or two ago, and I just hated it. This is not a good, bad movie," he writes. "Just bad."
That's bad. All right.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you for saving me an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just about finished here with my quick trip coffee over here, my Cafe Caruba, which I never have. It's only when I'm on the road because, I mean, this thing is basically, it's a big old cup of sugar, some water. You know, you're over there drinking water. So healthy.
Oh, yeah.
Out of your
nothing but water here. And you know what? It is so hot. I am flying through this water bottle today.
Well, good. You're properly hydrated.
Yeah.
We preach that all the time here. That's great. But it does get me to wondering because I've seen the coffee maker in my hotel room.
Yeah.
Don't trust it.
No? is it scary looking?
Well, it has a look like, look, at 4 in the morning when you're making it, and if something goes wrong, I mean, what are you going to do? It's 4 in the morning. You're stuck, and you got this mess to clean up or whatever.
Yeah.
So then there's the lobby coffee. And again, this is pretty much any hotel. And, most of the time that tastes rather burnt or whatever. There's gas station coffee of varying degrees. And so that's the question that I wanted to ask folks is either hotels or gas stations or both, something else like that, when you're on the road, is there a place that was surprisingly good in the coffee department? You were at maybe you like staying at Holiday Inn Expresses and you happen to think that coffee is particularly good or bad. I want to hear about both.
I want to hear the bad.
And the same goes for the gas station stuff and not just Quick Trip, but other chains out there. Is there anything that is particularly good, bad, noteworthy, funny? Because sometimes I imagine that, sometimes at these places you have very young employees. I imagine one Parker Olson who is not a coffee drinker. And if you're not trained properly, you're like, how many scoops of coffee are you supposed to put in this thing? 12 will do. When it should actually be 2.
I'm sure that's right.
Yes. So would love to know in the comment sections on Facebook or YouTube if you watch the show there for Up North News or Civic Media, or you can use the Civic Media app to send us a text and let us know more what you think about either coffee at the gas station, coffee at the hotels, just being on the road overall. Yesterday I had a sausage McMuffin coming into work because I, usually make my own breakfast, but hit the drive-thru. And then during our little host retreat yesterday, they brought in Ian's Pizza. A Madison Institution.
Yes.
So we had the mac and cheese pizza and the pepperoni and sausage.
That looked good.
And then, of course, the whole crew went out to dinner on State Street, after that, or on Capitol Square. Get your cheese curds and some other things. I should be fasting today, but of course, no, I've got this big old cup of sugar, from the gas station.
There's nothing wrong with that, Pat.
No.
You need what you need.
Well, again, we're on the road this week, and so the diet is just a little bit, it just hits a little bit different.
Yeah. That's okay. I'm fine with that. I would love to go somewhere on State Street just for food.
There are plenty of good options, although fewer than the last time. Madison's one of those places that is just always changing, and I noticed that, like, Tudo Pasta is gone. I used to like that. What is it, Short Stack, the breakfast place?
Oh, yeah.
That's now gone, but there are a couple of new places there that have come in since I was last around. So, State Street in Madison is definitely one of those places where if you can't find something you like, come on back next week. Because there's definitely some turnover in there. Let's see. There's also from Tony, I want Todd's take on coffee because he is an aficionado. Oh, yes.
For how much he's on the road, yeah.
Yes, and he does love his Wonder State coffee. He's all the time talking about that as well. The Brewers were big winners yesterday, which is kind of bittersweet given that, that would have then been 13 wins in a row. But instead, it's 12 out of the past 13 because Bryce Durang drove in 3 runs on 3 hits. The Brewers had 17 hits overall in a 10-2 rout of the Seattle Mariners to take 2 out of 3. Quinn Priester went 7 innings, allowed 2 runs on 6 hits with 6 strikeouts. And I think that Roger up in Stevens Point, we were talking about, he put a comment up on Facebook. In Quinn Priester's last 11 starts, he has won 8 decisions, an ERA of 2.42, and 61 strikeouts compared to 12 walks. Those are some pretty good numbers there. Thank you, Roger.
Very good. My goodness.
Yeah. But we've been talking about how the Brewers are doing all this with names that are not household, shall we say.
No.
Those of us who like to follow the team are still learning who some of these guys are.
You do get a name like once every 2 weeks or so that you go, what? Who? Isaac Collins?
And yet, they're getting it done. They are off today. The Brewers will head home to take on the Miami Marlins.
Attaboy.
Pat. Coverage begins. It's an afternoon game tomorrow on a Friday. Kind of rare here. So coverage begins the pregame at 2:35. On stations in Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Richland Center, Park Falls, and, of course, Hayward. And tomorrow, even though the show is on the road, we will still do Free Ticket Friday, where you can win 4 tickets. And I'm going to tell you right now, we already know which game it is. And I'm telling you this just to get you excited for it. It's the Brewers-Cubs series. And tomorrow on Free Ticket Friday, we're giving out 4 tickets to see the Brewers-Cubs game Wednesday afternoon. Daytime baseball against the Cubs at American Family Field. You're going to want to get the Civic Media app if you haven't already. Get that downloaded where you pull up a station, you text us the keyword. I'm not giving you the keyword now. That's the whole purpose of Free Ticket Friday.
Yeah. You got to listen.
Tomorrow we'll give you the keyword, and then throughout the course of the show, you text us that word, and then on some of the other shows, all of the other shows, you'll get an opportunity to text in a keyword as well. And in that entire statewide drawing, somebody's going to get pulled and win 4 tickets to next Wednesday afternoon's Brewers-Cubs game. It could be you. So if you can go, if you can get some tickets sent to you over your phone and use them, then keep that in mind for tomorrow for Free Ticket Friday. A local update is next for some of you, and for others, we'll be back in 15 minutes and talking about cryptocurrency with two legislators. Live on the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Did you know that workplace stress is now one of the top causes of declining mental health? In fact, 61% of the global workforce is experiencing higher than normal levels of stress. You can't just wave goodbye to work, but taking small steps for your wellness can yield big results. Hit play on your favorite podcast or song, sit in the sun, or take a walk daily. Even 5 minutes away from your screen can make all the difference. And while holidays are nice, they aren't a long-term solution. Don't forget that therapy can be ongoing and can help you build resilience to handle the unexpected challenges that the workday or any day can bring. Finding work-life balance can be hard. Getting the help you deserve? That should be easy. Unwind from work with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ABC Radio for 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ABC Radio.
Veterans, have you explored your benefits lately? As in, really looked at them? Veterans who bravely served our country deserve the benefits they've earned and life-saving support when they need it. We know that no one can do this alone, and we're stronger when we work together. The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs stands ready to serve Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. With our network of partners, like your local county veteran service officer, we can help connect veterans with services such as education, employment, mental health services, veteran ID, long-term care, and more. We stand ready to serve you. For more information, call 1-800-WIS-VETS or visit wisvets.com. That's wisvets.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, with funding provided by the Milwaukee Brewers and the Brewers Community Foundation.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
.722 the time now. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We are here in Madison Studio A2 at the top of State Street, right off the Capitol Square here in the Capitol City for a little civic media gathering. And then tomorrow on the road again, we'll be reporting from Oshkosh before we head back up north. But let's talk a little bit about one of the legislators from up north, State Senator Jeff Smith of Eau Claire. He was on recently and has a column, an opinion column in the Cap Times newspaper talking about how supporting our veterans shouldn't just be a talking point. And we are talking about the zeroing out of help for homeless veterans. And he speaks specifically of Klein Hall in Chippewa Falls, which since 2007 has been a safe haven for homeless veterans, where those who served our country have a chance to rebuild their lives with dignity and purpose. Senator Smith writes, it offers more than just shelter. It promotes the tools that veterans need to get back on their feet, like job training, counseling, and stability. But at the moment, Smith writes, several dozen veterans currently living at Klein Hall could be out on the street by September 30th. Each of them wore the uniform, they served with honor, and trusted that we'd keep up our end of the deal if they needed help when they got back home. To that end, Governor Evers asked for nearly $2 million in his budget proposal to keep Klein Hall and the Green Bay Veterans Facility open. That funding was stripped out of the Joint Finance Committee, controlled by Republicans. So Smith mentions offering an amendment to restore it on the Senate floor, but it was voted down. All but one Republican state senator voted against the amendment. So now Smith is co-authoring a standalone bill to fund the program and keep the facilities open. He says this is not a time for finger pointing now. We've got to get the job done. He says if Republicans don't want to sign on to the bill that I introduced, then so be it. But don't stand by and do nothing while these brave veterans are asked to relocate to Union Grove on the other side of the state. He says supporting our veterans shouldn't be a talking point. It should be a promise we honor. Let's show the people of Wisconsin what it really means to put our money where our mouth is when it comes to supporting those that we have served. Again, that's State Senator Jeff Smith from Eau Claire County, the Senate Democratic Assistant Leader, talking about Republicans zeroing out funding for homeless veterans. In a somewhat similar vein, Governor Evers is knocking the Trump administration for cuts to the U.S. Forest Service, saying that those cuts are going to be devastating for states like Wisconsin. Evers wrote a letter Monday to the U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins and said the state was going to expect less funding from the Urban and Community Forestry Grant programs, presumably to cover the cost of terminating some dedicated federal workers. Evers writes, it is untenable to expect Wisconsinites to take on the additional workload caused by cuts to the federal workforce while also gutting the investments necessary to support that effort. Using the very funds that are being eliminated to compensate for the workforce reduction undermines the trust and commitment that this important work requires. And Evers goes on to say much more, but the folks at WisPolitics report that there is a state senator from the Rice Lake area, Romaine Quinn, Republican chair of the Committee on Insurance, Housing, Rural Affairs, and Forestry. Romaine Quinn said that the reductions, quote, don't warrant the hysteria being drummed up by Governor Evers and opponents of President Trump. God forbid somebody tries to trim a little spending from the federal government that is incapable of living within its means, Quinn said. And there, once again, we get at the crux of the differences between the parties and those who are focused on service and then finding ways to fund that service and those who are simply looking for ways to save a buck for the purposes of saving a buck, but not really for the purposes of saving a buck, because that buck that's not going to be used for the Forest Service is going to go to tax cuts for the very wealthy, where we hope that they just trickle down. It seems like the chair of a legislative committee committed to forestry should perhaps maybe defend Wisconsin's forests in a ways that isn't just reliant upon, well, my party wants budget cuts, and so who cares what the consequences are? If you've got a better plan, happy to hear it, but it sounds like the plan is simply do less. And let's get those tax dollars over to the rich, and maybe they'll build us a new forest if they can be bothered not to invest in another yacht instead or something like that. So in much the same way, the last hour we talked about, there's a difference between the parties. There's one that wants to Democrats want to make it just a little bit harder for state legislators to use your tax dollars to use outside counsel to represent them when they're doing things like, trying to gerrymander maps. And another party, the Republicans, well, their latest bill they've introduced would be to increase the penalties for vandalism and graffiti on statues and monuments. Again, it's feel-good legislation, but it doesn't do anything to stop the abuse of, things like gerrymandered maps and racking up big legal bills to defend the gerrymandered maps and the lame duck laws and the other things that the one political party has been doing recklessly in this state for a number of years. I'd much rather side with the people that are looking out for our homeless veterans, not forgetting to fund them, making sure that our forests are healthy and sustainable and economically productive. And also, instead of the party whose president has now made over $1 billion off cryptocurrency in one of the great corruption scandals of our lifetime that is going unreported, I'd rather go with the folks that are trying to make sure that cryptocurrency isn't something that can scam us, even at a place like an ATM when we go to the gas station. And we're going to talk about that with two state legislators coming up right after the Midwest Farm Report. Live from Madison today, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're not the only one struggling with Wisconsin's heat, humidity, and severe weather. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday. Many of our county fairs have been caught in the crosshairs of this severe weather. That's according to Jamie Butke, executive director of the Wisconsin Association of Fairs. It is still early. We've got about 30 days left for fairs to report attendance. But Butke says, unfortunately, that severe weather has kept people away. And she said people have to remember, county fairs occur but once a year and rely on you getting there.
We've had some storms that came through that we had a lot of fairs that had to deal with torrential weather, but I think they're prepared for that as well. We might talk about insurance, whether it's weather insurance. And, you know, a lot of them work really well with their county government in, you know, what that evacuation plan will look like. So they take their time to do that. The one thing I think we're really great is we are a family of fairs that share information. So if I have a blueprint for what works good on a potential weather, or we're going to have to shut something down, we have emergency procedures, our fairs share the blueprints that they have. So I think because we're always networking and sharing those ideas, they just get better and better at the planning process.
Jamie Butke, she's the executive director of the Wisconsin Association of Fairs. She says to try to help the bottom line look a little bit better despite the weather, many county fairs have decided to walk away from big music entertainers and instead turn to local talent and entertainment like things such as Battle of the Bands. Remember, county fairs continue right on into September. Find a complete listing of Wisconsin county fairs at wifairs.com under the events tab.
This is the sound of corn pests wreaking havoc on your crops. This is the sound of a channel field protected by Bayer's trait technology. With the RNAi technology of SmartStax Pro, the all-in corn rootworm fighter, and VT4 Pro, Bayer's widest spectrum of defense, you can stay one step ahead of ever-changing pest pressure. Find the right corn trait for your fields at channel.com/corn traits. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our Baselite product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Baselite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
And Wisconsin farmers being put on alert. Heavy infestation of armyworms being reported by agronomists from Crawford, Iowa, Columbia, Dane, Dunn, Jefferson, and Taylor counties, as well as others. Start scouting now, they advise. That's a look at food news. I'm Pam Yonke.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms today with a high right around 86 this afternoon. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms early, then partly cloudy. We'll drop to 67 for a low. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a slight chance of late-day thunderstorms and a high right around 86. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe,
the founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week. Mr. Paul Vandenplas,
the Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story, really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Next, we celebrate democracy and what can make it stronger, what reforms are needed. I got all-star guests for the entire show. This is going to be a special one, folks. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Coming up tomorrow on the program, I'll be in Oshkosh. We'll be hearing from Gordon Hintz, the Winnebago County Executive. We'll also be talking to a provost from the University of Wisconsin Oshkosh about happenings there, along with our Week in Review panel, which includes former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and journalists Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze. All that and much more. Oh, also State Representative Lee Snodgrass from the Appleton area will be joining us, and Mike Clemens with a look at weekend sports. A very busy day tomorrow from Oshkosh on these mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News and right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where today we're in Madison, where Parker Olson produces what we do, and Parker's not a coffee drinker.
That but I am not.
Parker pointed me toward the coffee pot here because my original gas station coffee is gone. So I thought, I see a coffee pot there. I will fill it up.
Yeah.
There's one of those little single-serving Keurig cup thingies.
Sure. Okay.
And there's a coffee pot.
Yeah.
I filled it up from the coffee pot.
Okay.
I put in a little bit of cream and sugar.
There you go.
Raised it to my lips. It is ice cold.
Well.
I mean.
Yeah.
Is it like yesterday's coffee?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Is it decaf that's next? You have to use the single serve? I do not know if this has any benefit whatsoever. Certainly not in terms of heat.
Well, here's the thing.
Maybe not caffeine.
It may have shocked you enough that you're more awake now.
Oh, I'm more awake now, yes.
See, it did the job. It did the job.
It did this job without having to ingest a thing.
Poor guy.
Yeah, I know. First world problems. But here's a problem I don't have. I am unburdened by immense knowledge in cryptocurrency. I have a healthy dose of skepticism at this point, which does not mean I'm writing it off entirely. I'm completely admitting I will need to learn more. What I've learned is that cryptocurrency involves, you know, a whole lot of data processing, which means a whole lot of electricity and everything that comes from it, and that the regulatory framework around it is, shall we say, still a work in progress. Now, that doesn't mean you can't do anything about it. Some folks in Washington said they were doing something about it last week. It was allegedly crypto week, and Congressman Brian Steil talked all about passing some kind of stablecoin legislation that he said was going to put a regulatory framework around cryptocurrency. A lot of Democrats disagreed and saw it as more of a sweetheart deal. I am again here to tell you that I can't say with authority that it is more one way or the other. I can say this as a former legislator. There is a role for legislatures to play at the state level to protect consumers and perhaps financial institutions, small businesses, the economy. Somebody should be thinking about these things. I have found two people who are thinking about these things. There's State Senator Kelda Royce and there is State Representative Ryan Spouty. And welcome to you both. I hope your coffee is hot, and I thank you for being here with us this morning.
Good morning, Pat. I'm sorry to say I actually do like iced coffee.
Well, I like iced coffee when I know it's coming. I wasn't expecting it. Kelda, these are weighty issues that we're about to discuss, but I've got to get the fun stuff out of the way here first, because Trygve Olson was filling in for Todd Alba yesterday, and Tony up in Ashland was listening, and he asked this question on YouTube. Did you know Kelda wrote musicals? Found that out yesterday from Trygve Olson. How do you plead?
Well, guilty, but not any complete musical. So
oh, okay.
you're never going to find anything in like the Library of Congress. But yeah, I was a theater major in college, and actually my best friend from college is a musical theater composer. and he's very successful. So it's really fun to see, you know, the early things that we did together go in the garbage, but he's actually very successful.
Kelda, I will feel much better now when you write Wisconsin Legislature the musical. I just feel like you've already got some verses in your head that will make, you know, Book of Mormon look like child's play by the time you are done. I hope that this happens. So tuck that away for future reference. All right, now let's cover the matter at hand here. And Kelda, while you've got the floor, we'll start with you. What is the bill that you and Representative Spouty are working on from a state level when it comes to crypto, and especially as we see them on these ATM machines that are popping up around the state?
So this is basically a consumer protection bill. We know that Wisconsinites want to experiment and learn about these new kinds of technologies, including cryptocurrency. But unfortunately, what's happening right now with these crypto kiosks being totally unregulated is that people are being scammed and they're being used to facilitate criminal activity. So massive fraud. And stories are really, really heartbreaking. People just losing their life savings in an instant. So this is a bill to basically put a framework, create some guardrails so that people can safely use cryptocurrency kiosks, and so that there's some accountability and law enforcement can actually go after these criminals, which right now it's almost impossible for them to do.
And Representative, won't you help fill in some more, tell us more about the bill and your involvement in it?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Pat. Good to see you, Kelda, as always. Senator Royce and I teamed up on this, former prosecutor. I was a drunk driving prosecutor, actually. That was my primary focus. But as we're all well aware, there are many crimes against people's property that aren't tangible, that you can't actually see. And crypto is, it's the Wild West still. There's still a lot of unregulated areas of that, we'll call it enterprise. And what we're doing is we are stepping up at the state level and we are saying, hey, we need to have some rules. We need to have some ground game rules that everyone is expected to follow. And the goal, we want to encourage entrepreneurship and the development of new technology, but we also need to be serious. There are many cases, both here in Wisconsin and across the country, of folks, frequently their seniors, who are being defrauded. They are losing just an incredible amount of money, as Senator Royce mentioned, like that. We need to have some good government, some very basic regulations in place to make sure that people are not cheated and scammed out of their livelihoods. And that is what this bill aims to accomplish.
Senator, can we then get in a little bit more specifics, either if not what the bill does or maybe what it's trying to prevent? Are there examples of scams or crimes that have been seen elsewhere that we don't want to see happen here?
Absolutely. And they're already happening here, to be clear. You know, a lot of scams basically tell you to go put money in this kiosk because you're going to buy something from overseas, or they're used for, you know, criminals use them to transfer proceeds of their ill-gotten activities. We've also seen a startling rise in the number of love bombing, sort of catfishing schemes where really targeting people who are isolated and, you know, feeling sad and lonely, and they meet somebody on the internet who, you know, tells them that they love them and kind of carpet bombs them with affection, and then has a need for money for some family member surgery or something like that. And before the person realizes it's a scam, their money is gone. So we worked with the Department of Financial Institutions on this bill. They have just promulgated some regulations, but they are really excited to update our statutes. Right now, if you transfer money using your credit union or an online service like PayPal or Venmo, it's regulated. So this bill basically turns crypto kiosk operators into regulated money transferers, meaning they have to obey the same rules and have the same protections as your bank. You have to verify the identity of the people who are using this. And this is important for law enforcement. If there is an allegation of a crime, that they can go back and say, well, here's this person's ID, here's what they presented us, and here's the name they gave us. There's a daily limit so that you could only withdraw, or you could only use up to $1,000. This is really important because if somebody, you know, is asking for $40,000, you could lose that in a day right now. There's also the ability to get a refund from the crypto operator if within 30 days you have reported to law enforcement and reported to the kiosk operator that you were scammed. And that's really, really important because right now there's functionally no way for people who have been victimized to get their money back.
Can you talk, Representative Spouty, a bit about just the volatility of crypto? I worry, at the risk of getting too far in the weeds here, but that somebody may have thought they were investing so much or spending so much on this. They do feel like they were scammed. They want to get something back. And the response to them is, well, now it's only worth, this much. And again, I mean, who knows? You're basically looking to see that, dollar for dollar, if somebody gets scammed, they're going to recover the money that they thought they were putting toward what turned out to be a fraudulent transaction. Is that about right?
Yes, that is correct. I'm not, I don't own any Spouty coin. I don't, I'm not in that market personally, but the whole purpose of this bill, the goal of this bill is when we have these regulations, these licensure requirements, these know your customer requirements, warnings on a crypto kiosk. You can see these in, they're sprouting up all over in malls and in convenience stores, gas stations, warnings. That's another important part of this bill. The goal is to have the number of cases where people, as we are seeing, like I said, across the country, including here in Wisconsin, we want the number of those cases from the get-go to go down. We don't want to have folks in a situation where they are seeking a refund because they've been defrauded. So again, kind of setting aside the whole, what's it like to be in that market? If you play by the rules and you want to do crypto, good on you, go for it. We are setting these regulations in place so that way we do not have as many instances of criminals using a lack of regulation to defraud people of incredible amounts of money.
It would be nice if this were a nonpartisan, non-political issue. Tony puts up on YouTube, who could possibly be against this bill? Well, I'm sorry to put some politics into us, but I have a feeling that maybe a certain White House occupant who has made more than $1 billion with his own cryptocurrency, which seems an awful lot like a shell game to me, might be it. And so, Kelda, when we see what Congress was working on last week, and we know that, Wisconsin Congressman Brian Steil was one of those leading the charge on this, how confident do you feel that what Congress and the Trump administration are doing will be helpful to you as state legislators or an impediment?
Well, I'm very concerned that this absolutely corrupt regime in Washington is going to try to crack down on states' ability to protect consumers. You know, we have never seen a president monetize being in the White House the way that this president has. And one of the ways that he's doing that is with crypto schemes and, any type of financial asset that you might have, whether it's cash in the bank, whether it's, jewelry or gold or stocks, bonds, real estate, there are regulatory guardrails in place. Even if you're in, more speculative markets like early stage investing or hedge funds, private equity, there are still rules in place and there are regulatory regimes that have to be followed. And crypto really is the Wild West. And that is why it is the, the gambling of choice, the asset of choice for criminals and fraudsters. And, the idea that we should just sit by as people are scammed, I think is outrageous, right? I mean, what is government for if we're not going to stop crime and keep people safe?
And that's where when Congressman Steil says we want to spur innovation, development and growth in crypto. Again, the sense I get from you and others is saying, OK, in the point where it's legal and does not become the Wild West. And so I'm very thankful to see state-based legislation like this. Senator Kelda Royce of Madison, Representative Ryan Spouty of Ashwaubenon, thank you very much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Good to be with you.
All right. Have a wonderful day. A local update is next for some of you. And then in our next hour, Chad Holmes, Sean O'Malley, Joe Zepecki on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The voices of 86% of Maine voters were silenced July 14th as a federal appeals court found a 2023 ballot initiative limiting political spending by foreign-owned corporations likely violates the Constitution's right to free speech. Question 2 passed with an astounding 86.4% support after foreign corporations flooded Maine with advertising to get voters to approve a hydroelectric transmission corridor from Canada through Maine. The power companies and the Maine media, which benefited from millions in advertising dollars, sued on free speech grounds. Federal rules prohibit campaign contributions by foreign entities in federal elections, but don't address state spending or ballot initiatives. Question 2 prohibited foreign entities or subsidiaries with 5% or more foreign ownership from making contributions to candidates or ballot measures, required disclosure of advertising funding, and mandated disclosure whenever a foreign government attempted to influence an issue in Maine. A 3-judge panel agreed with the lower court's finding that determining whether multinational corporations exceeded 5% foreign ownership would be hard to enforce. It also agreed that the political spending limits would have a chilling effect on the right of corporations to speak out on issues. Another Maine money and politics case was decided July 15th, but this one is headed to the U.S. Supreme Court. More on that in our next report. I'm Brian Beal.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. An unwelcome surprise for Wisconsin farmers looking to apply for the Federal Rural Energy for America program, or REAP. The popular program helps rural small businesses and farmers invest in money-saving energy efficiency upgrades and clean energy. But the application window that was supposed to open July 1st was abruptly closed by the USDA. The agency says it's delaying the grant application window. The EPA is awarding a $700,000 grant to help Kenosha County pay for the final phase of restoration of the Pike River. Crews are restoring banks and habitat along the river and planting native pollinator-friendly plants. The project is aimed at improving the quality of water flowing into Lake Michigan. For a deep dive into environmental issues impacting Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Remember, you can sign up for our Up North News newsletters, our one on the weekdays, our Sunday morning one with a focus on Wisconsin politics, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner. Our Sunday morning one includes a question of the week with a candidate for governor for next year already running ads. What does that do? Are you impressed by that? Do you understand it's how you have to build name ID? Or is it a turnoff and you might be less inclined to vote for this person for spending money on TV ads this early? That's part of our Sunday morning newsletter. Sign up again at upnorthnewswi.com. Well, we normally in our homeroom segment on Wednesday mornings at 7:30 talk about public education, but public education's, I don't know if you'd call it Super Bowl or maybe their Daytona 500, whatever it is happening in Green Bay today up at Preble High School. And Camden Hargrove from the Wisconsin Public Education Network joins us to talk all about today's Summer Summit 2025. Camden, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on.
That's wonderful to have you here. You're working with some great people with the network. Todd Alba being one of them. He'll be doing his radio show live from the Summer Summit coming up this afternoon from 2 until 4. But let's start with the general overview. This is the 11th annual Summer Summit. But let's describe to folks more or less what the Summer Summit is that you hold and what you're holding there in Green Bay today.
Yeah, well, like you said, it's the 11th annual Summer Summit. So this is starting to become a great tradition that we have. and we're at Preble High School today. And we are coming together to talk about where we are, the state of education right now, and where we are post state budget, where they absolutely took away the needs that children have, right? They did not give nearly enough money to help special education. They are only planning to fund 45% and 47%, and that is just not acceptable, especially when they're willing to give $30 million to vouchers. We know that our kids are the most important thing, and so we're here to come together, realize that we do have each other and that there is strength in all of us being here together and learning, as well as then being able to teach people and grow and have workshops and sessions where people can learn about how to fight back against these vouchers, where people can learn about referendums and what goes into them, where we can talk about how to be allies to LGBTQ youth. Yeah, and really just grow together.
And the theme is building community through thriving public schools. It is definitely something we've talked about with network folks before, just talking about the deep connection between public schools and their communities, and that when public schools are harmed, the community is harmed overall. And so I'm sure more people will be talking today about drawing that line between public schools and the health of our communities.
Yeah, yeah. And we're going to have over 100 people here today here to listen to that message and bring that back to their communities. And so this isn't just going to help and impact the Green Bay School District. We have people from all around the state coming. And when we learn from each other, we can grow and build our communities, and that's what is necessary right now. We are going to be the people that do the work. No one is going to come to save us. No one is going to come to bail us out of this. It is our job. We are here. We have to do the work. So that is why we're coming together. That is why we're uniting the community, and we're learning, we're growing, we're teaching, and we're working together.
There are several breakout sessions. There is, as always, a School Finance 101 to explain the state's convoluted school funding process. There is community engagement for public schools through referendum efforts. That will include Lori Blakesley, who's been on the show before, from the Green Bay Area Public Schools, Colleen Nowak from DePere, Emily Pritzkow from the Wisconsin Building Trades Council, somebody that we've talked to before. There will also be sessions on supporting new teachers, transformational community schools that give success to all. There's also a wellness workshop for organizers, building resiliency, because let's face it, you know, being an advocate for public schools is it's a draining gig these days. It's full time. You got to learn to take care of yourself along the way.
Yeah, burnout is real. And like I said, all of us need to come together, right? Well, you know, that can get exhausting if we just keep burning. And so it's important to learn how to have self-care, how to find what helps us thrive, so we can make sure that we embrace that and work on that, so we have enough of ourselves to give and enough energy to keep doing this life.
There will also be supporting public schools in an age of disinformation with Christina Bry from the Wisconsin Education Association Council. There will be a session called Getting Ready to Run. Some educators are thinking about being candidates next year. And former legislator Christina Sanher, the executive director of Wisconsin Progress, along with training director Becky Rasmussen, will be putting on that seminar as well. And then you had that reception at Lambeau Field last evening, so that had to be a really nice way to, pun intended, kick things off.
Yeah, I mean, that's one great pun. I will bring it back real quick to what you're talking about running, because it lines right into what I was saying about it being about us, right? And the people that run for school board, these are the people in our community, right? These are previous teachers. These are people that care about our kids. Mm-hmm. And learning how to get into that and run is very key.
One of many topics to be covered at the Summer Summit. Camden Hargrove covering it for the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Camden, thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you so much. You too.
All right. We've got a lot ahead coming up in the third hour of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News, live on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Jeffrey Epstein's convicted co-conspirator Ghislaine Maxwell is set to meet with Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche in Florida today. Blanche and Attorney General Pam Bondi saying they want to know if she has any information about anyone who committed crimes against victims. Also today, says ABC's Aaron Katursky.
The Wall Street Journal reports Bondi and Blanche informed the president in May his name appears multiple times in the Epstein files. The paper reports they told Trump they did not plan to release them because they contained child pornography and personal information about victims. Trump deferred to their decision. Last week, Trump denied Bondi told him his name was in the files.
A federal judge refusing to unseal the grand jury testimony surrounding the Epstein investigation. Following criticism of Fed Chair Jerome Powell for not lowering interest rates, President Trump visits the Fed headquarters in Washington today. A plane crashing in far eastern Russia, wreckage on the side of a hill, 48 people killed. This is ABC News.